Good morning and welcome to WPPA Sports Saturday, October 3rd edition of the program. And let's thank our financial benefactors like CACL Financial, 1800 West Market Street in the city of Pottsville. Don't forget their new location along the Port Carbon-St. Clair Highway. And they're always open online at CACLFCU.org. You won't find a better fiduciary relationship anywhere. And we'd also like to thank Phoenix Physical Therapy for jumping on board. Recover, recharge, and rise at Phoenix Physical Therapy, with locations in Pottsville, Orwigsburg, Frackville, Pine Grove, and Gratz. And we'd also be remiss not to say thank you, Gears Dairy, Schuylkill County's oldest full-service family-owned dairy along the Tumbling Run Road, celebrating fall with that delicious raspberry and diet decaf raspberry iced tea, which is the newest addition to the full line of products at Gears Dairy, from whole milk to skim milk, the award-winning chocolate milk, fruit drinks, orange juice to get your vitamin C, as the doctor says, moving. There's spring water as well. Hey, welcome back. I hardly knew who it was sitting here this morning.
I'm just happy Gears Dairy didn't jump on the damn pumpkin spice everything train, and they jumped on the raspberry tea and brought us something delicious to Schuylkill County. But, hey, I'm back, buddy. In week number four of the high school football season is completed for us pretty much, and let's take a look at the results last night. Pottsville down to Mauqua 21-12. North Schuylkill shuts out Jim Thorpe 36-0. Pine Grove over Blue Mountain 20-12. A big night for Frank Gaffney. Williams Valley beat Mahanoy Area 28-20. Minersville down Panther Valley 57-22. Tri-Valley over Shenandoah 57-0. Nativity shut out Marion 36-0. A high-scoring affair last night as Lehighton beat Schuylkill Haven 60-42. Mount Carmel down Hughesville 54-7. Shamokin over Shikellamy 41-20. Hamburg beat Kutztown 61-13. Line Mountain over Upper Dauphin 46-22. Hazleton beats Pittston 21-0. Crestwood over Holy Redeemer 42-0. Don't forget Tuesday, a big matchup in District 4, Chaz, as Southern Columbia and Mount Carmel will tussle in that Heartland Conference at the Silver Bowl.
It will be at the Silver Bowl. Now, you know, the interesting thing, if you noticed, Mount Carmel played Hughesville last night after a Saturday night a week ago, playing at Bloomsburg after playing Tuesday night the week before that game last Saturday. They elect to play Friday night. What does Southern Columbia do this week? They move their game from Friday night back to Thursday night.
Yeah.
To give themselves an extra day to prepare for the Red Tornadoes contest.
Who you mean? Of course they would. You know what I mean? Another advantage for the Tigers.
I call it smart scheduling on the part of Jim Roth. I really do.
Yeah, but another advantage, you know.
Well, you know, listen. I can't rip what they're doing up there. I don't feel the same as everybody else. Let's put it that way.
Oh, I don't feel like they're recruiting or anything. No, absolutely not.
Why would you?
You don't have to recruit.
I mean, if you're
you
Mount
don't
Carmel,
have to
I understand not to backing that game up last night with Hughesville. They blew them out.
Yeah.
But Southern said, I wouldn't say it's another advantage. I think you're missing the boat. It's, I think, more of a respect thing to say we need that extra day to get ready for the Red Tornadoes. Like, let's not overlook this program here. We need that prep time. We need to make sure we can break that down. Now, in all honesty, you know, Mount Carmel losing to Bloomsburg last Saturday might have been the shock
heard around the world.
More so, I think, than Nativity beating Pottsville this year, because Bloomsburg has perennially been a pushover.
Yeah, it's been that doormat there in that District 4 area. And, you know, the odd part about it, though, Chaz, is, you know, that game would traditionally be on the first day of the Bloomsburg Fair. So maybe with not having the fair there, the Panthers were focused. Focused on the game and not focused on what was happening a few blocks away.
Mike Kogut might ask for that to be canceled from here on out.
But, hey, let's talk about some of these games around our region here last night, my friend. Where do you want to start?
I want to start by figuring out how this all works again.
There you go.
Let's start with the game you witnessed last night here in the city. I mean, we will have Jeff Sampson coming up as there was some football played in the Valley of the Dolls for the first time this year. And we're going to talk to Jeff Sampson about that return to football. Delayed start, but the Bulldogs did it. You talked about that score. And I guess we'll talk to Pork Drees. I believe I may have had the only one that won. I may be the only person with the horse that won the race at the Kentucky Derby. So now it'll be interesting to see what works out today. But we'll talk to Pork at the end of the program this morning. But let's start with the Crimson Tide after everybody got to hear the fall that vibrated through the city this week and touchdown tips. And if you're all wondering what that crash was and we all started laughing, I mean, I know a lot of people were like, what the heck? You know, it was actually Charlie Drees and the chair zipping out from underneath him and him falling to the ground in a hard way. And it was quite comical. But anyway.
Well, that's a shame. You know, Charlie is a well-respected young individual from around these regions.
Well, he's Palo Alto's favorite son.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, Pally, all 84 people strong, felt that thing vibrate through their living rooms Thursday evening.
I think that branch of the Schuylkill came over in Palo Alto.
Tsunami warning. But let's get started here. In the city of Pottsville last night, it was Pottsville and Tomaqua. Tomaqua coming in at 3-0, and 3-0, and Pottsville coming into the game at 2-1. And, you know, Tomaqua comes in. Pottsville riding a little high from the week before, beating and shutting out Lee Heighton. People thinking, well, you know, did the Tide find their mantra? Did they find that gravitational pull of the moon? And are they going to be there rising high again last night? And yes, they were. They start off, Chaz, a three and out quickly for the Blue Raiders. And the big thing about it, too, is before play even started on the first offensive possession for Tomaqua, they had a quick five-yard penalty called against the Tide in a offsides call, and it was first and five, and the Tide answered the calling and end up turning the three and out, and the Tide go on a 92-yard touchdown march that covered some time and ran a few plays, and it ends with a 23-yard pass from Snowwell to Trevante Davis, and the Tide are up. The Tide then give the ball back to Tomaqua. Listen to this. Ladies and gentlemen, the Tide, you know, left like 17 plays in a drive for Tomaqua, go all the way down to the 4-yard line. Tomaqua has a first and goal at the 4. The Tide turn them away. The Tide then have the ball deep in their own side of the football field, backed up into the end zone, and on a third down, Carabella Snowwell rolling around in the end zone trying to find somebody open. Pressure coming to get him. He tries to throw the ball away down the middle of the field, and when he does, he throws it right into the breadbasket of Mr. Nate Kirby, 3 yards into the end zone, touchdown, and we've got ourselves a 7-6 ball game after the extra point fails. Then on the ensuing play, the kickoff from Tomaqua, 77 yards later, Trevante Davis into the end zone, and now we've got ourselves a 14-6 ball game. Wickersham will get it in from 11 yards out in the third quarter for Tomaqua, their first offensive possession. They ran 7 minutes off the clock with that possession, Chaz, in like 18 plays that time. And they cap it off with the 11-yard rush from the quarterback. Two-point conversion fails. That's it for the scoring for Tomaqua. And then Pottsville will get a 15-yard run on a turnover. The turnover was created by Thomas Reed, the linebacker. And the next play, Snowwell will take it in from 15 yards out, untouched around the left end. And it's a 21-12 victory. Tide moved to 3-1. Tomaqua falls to 3-1 last night.
Well, it's interesting. The defenses must have been on full display, as there is not a whole bunch of yardage to hold Tomaqua to 81 yards on the ground when the previous week they were either at or above 400 yards rushing. Last night, on the surface at Veterans Memorial Stadium, the Tide defense hold the Blue Raiders to 81 yards on the ground, 97 yards through the air. Pottsville, though, they got rushed for almost 300 yards last week at Lee Heighton. They get 146 and 64 yards through the air, and they come away with the victory. But, boy, that must have been a defensive slobber knocker, as they say, Edward.
It was a defensive slobber knocker, and the Tide's defense just hung stronger than the Blue Raiders last night. And that's one of the big determining factors. I believe Bernie came into the ballgame talking about this inverted wishbone looker, the wishbone for Tamaqua being successful, where they'll put two fullbacks there and have a tailback behind. And that was being successfully run by a gentleman called Logan Hess. Hess just 10 carries for 6 yards last night. He was the big success last week when you talk about those 400 and some yards racked up by the Blue
Raiders.
Nate
Kirby held well below his average as well running the football. So
Tide was in the backfield quick and in a hurry a lot of plays, Chaz, almost like they were standing in the offensive huddle.
Well, let's keep it in Division One. It was 1-2 Blue Mountain hosting 0-3 Pine Grove area, and the Cardinals win the ball game 20-12, and the defense, well, that was in the second half, but Pine Grove getting on the board. Brody Robinson from 33 yards out. Blue Mountain answers with an E-man Parker 5-yard run. Then it's a long distance dial-up, Josh Leininger to Shea Morgan for 35 yards. Hensley then catches a 51-yard pass, and this kid was breaking tackles and making cuts like it was nobody's business on his way to the end zone. And that did it for Blue Mountain. That was the only score. And then Morgan and Leininger hook up again from 6 yards out to set the final mark. That was the halftime score, 20-12, and that's how it ended up. And Corey Mabry coming in talked about not turning the football over, and I will tell you, there was a lot of that, and the penalties last night at inopportune times. JP said these two teams coming in were snake-bitten, and the Pit Viper was figuring out what side he wanted to make residency last night. Well, and it ended up striking Blue Mountain, to be quite honest with you, because, I mean, the Eagles turned it over 3 times with a pair of interceptions and a fumble that they lost. There were 3 other times they dropped it. The Cardinals, and those 5, it may be a little deceiving because I think 3 or 4 out of those 5 were snaps over the quarterback's head.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say there's 10 lost balls, at one time where the ball's on the turf or in the
incredible
hands of the opponent.
It was incredible. And almost, well, it wasn't even 100 yards in penalties combined between the two teams. It was something to watch how, you know, each team in that second half, they'd get a little bit of an inch, and then they'd be set back for some reason or another. It was either the snap over the head. But Josh Leininger, Doc, may be the most underrated player in the entire Schuylkill League. I mean, last night he 13 for 22, 224 yards passing. He ran for 53 yards, and this kid's something else. And the Morgan kid was looking at double coverage most of the night. And there were times where they'd line him up with 3 receivers in either stacking them or triangle and trying to get him open real estate. And that kid, he doesn't let much get by.
Well, geez, he reeled in 7 last night for 118 yards, Chaz. So,
and a pair of touchdowns.
He does a good job. He does a good job.
You know, for Blue Mountain last night, Hensley, the leading receiver, 5 for 94. So Bryce, he's another one. He was locked up defensively between him and Derek Wallace Savage covering Morgan. And on the other side of the coin, it was Aiden Nye who was assigned. Aiden Nye is listed as a nose guard. Last night, played corner and guarded Bryce Hensley and gave up almost a foot. And
wow.
I'll tell you what, the kid's hitterish.
Wow.
And he kept a lot of those passes at bay. Is 7 of 18 passing for Jack Dean last night for 123 yards. And almost 100 yards in the difference there. The Eagles got their running game. Parker's used now more as a wing to be handed the football.
Yep.
Toby Renninger's a bull. And Nick Johnson started the game at tailback and did okay. But, of course, that slew of running backs for Blue Mountain, Doc, is back again. So
we'll
see. The Eagles just can't seem to catch a break. The Cardinals get an inspirational night for their coach, who this isn't the first time he returned to the Eagles' nest as a coach. But it is the first time as a head coach. And Frank, who knows where every bump, divot, and blade of grass is in that surface. Knew exactly how to play it last night and picked up his young Cardinals' first win in the Schuylkill League last night at Blue Mountain. Shall we keep it in Division One, Eddie?
Sure.
You want to talk about North Schuylkill Jim Thorpe, which I think the only person who saw this game ending as it did, believe it or not, was Charles P. Dries Jr., said that North Schuylkill was going to take it to the Olympians, and they did, 36-0 last night.
Yeah, and Wally Hall gets his boys to 4-0 on the season, Chaz. And, you know, it's sort of not a surprise that North Schuylkill's still rolling. They are a very young ball club, I will tell you that. Not many seniors on the roster. And
you had an opportunity to see them last week.
And I saw Blue Mountain last
Blue Mountain's defense gave North Schuylkill some fits. The passing game wasn't working.
Absolutely horrible.
I got a feeling around the breakfast table and probably the dinner table at night, Jake Hall got some different looks at how to see the field. And boy, oh boy, did he respond last night back into the same form as he was in Week 1 and Week 2. That's for certain.
Yeah, he was 18-32 last night, though. He does throw three picks, Chaz. And he does get 263 yards in the air. The Spartans rushed the ball 30 times for 176. It starts all off passing, though, last night as Josh Chwanski reels it in from 22 yards out. Then Wallachowicz reels in a 60-yard pass. And then it's Jackson Chwanski, a one-yard run. Then dialing up again, it's a 28-yard pass for Dietz. From Wally Holland. Talk about this Dylan Dietz kid. Yeah, he has to be one of the most athletic kids that I've seen playing the game of football in the past few years.
You should see him throw a knuckleball.
I heard he throws a hell of a knuckleball.
He does.
But, you know, then the Spartans special teams gets a safety with a punt snap over the punter's head and the ball out of the back of the end zone. And then Josh Chwanski rolls out to 39 yards and the blades of grass flying off his spikes as he runs down the turf at the Panther Valley Stadium last night. Is the Olympian Stadium not completed yet?
Not yet.
So they're playing at the Panther Valley last night. And
look at these individual numbers. Josh Chwanski, 21 carries, 173 yards on the ground. He also caught four passes for 58 yards. Wallachowicz seems to be picking it up again. Five receptions for 123. Whoa, baby, look out. The Spartan defense holding Jim Thorpe to 68 yards on the ground, 121 through the air. Now, that may be a bit of a surprise, maybe. But Jim Thorpe's offense has not outgained their opponents in two of their last three wins. They were below their opponents and still won the ball game. And it's always been right around that 200 total yards of offense for the Olympians.
Guess where they are last night?
The big thing for the Spartans, though, has to be attacking that red swarm for a total of 439 yards last night. Now, in all honesty, and this takes nothing away from North Schuylkill, Jim Thorpe is a battered ball club right now. They have not made it through the first 3 weeks. They have been gobbled up by the injury bug, but I wouldn't say
4077.
You still see Calcano, you see Fossilino. Fiorito is in there as well. Fickinger with some carries, but there's some notables missing here. But anyway, North Schuylkill, though, is now starting to feel it.
Yeah, they're starting to feel and starting to run in that midseason form, Chaz. And last night I talked about the three interceptions thrown by Mr. Hall, Fisher, Fossilino, and Balliet roll them in. But three interceptions go for the Spartans' defense as Dylan Dietz gets two and Serrato comes up with one. And the Spartans, where do they go next week?
I don't think that's Tamaqua. It might be.
Is it Lehighton?
It might be. It's Marion.
Marion, yes.
They play
yes,
the Colts yes, next week in the crossover game. And while we're speaking of the Colts, last night it was a battle of the two Catholic school representatives here in Schuylkill County. And this may be the first time in a long time they've met on the gridiron. But last evening, the Green Wave bouncing back from a tough ball game a week ago on Saturday night to shut out the Colts. And, boy, things getting together. Nativity, not a whole lot of yards on the offense last night, 217. However, their defense, holding the Colts to just 58 total yards last night.
You know, last weekend I had the opportunity to speak to you after that Williams Valley game. Okay, and I remember saying to you about Nativity, and I said to you about Pat Mason and how these kids would go out and do anything. If Pat would say to them, run through the wall, they would say, which brick should we hit first, coach? And that's what they're doing, is they're just going out and playing football and having a whole heck of a lot of fun doing it, but they're racking up wins. They're racking up wins, and they're doing it in style. And, yeah, they get outmatched against Williams Valley, but, you know, they come back with a signature win here against the Colts.
And I got to believe that that defense for Nativity, I mean, when I saw them come out last week against Williams Valley, I'm telling you, Nativity is an opportunity to challenge here for a district championship, because we're not sending our District 11 teams into the state tournament this year. But they're a feisty group, and Julian Cerullo last night, 0-for-8 passing with 3 interceptions. I bet he was running for his life at Stan DeCosti Field last night, because the Green Wave defense was all over. Now, let's be truthful here. All 36 points scored in the first half by Nativity. And from what I understand, they dialed it back then for the second half. And the clock continuous and those kind of things. And there was no scoring in the second half. But Spolsky with another touchdown pass from Cody Miller. Jacob Hoffman, what this kid can't do when he gets hold of the football. Back-to-back touchdowns. And then it's Dylan Schreffler with a 20-yard run. And then Schreffler pick 6 from 61 yards out, caps the scoring.
Yeah, 217 yards of offense for Nativity. You see that defensive score, so that would keep those offensive numbers down a little bit. And it's a 5 of 10 passing last night, 2 interceptions for Cody Miller. And then you look through some individual numbers, a whole bunch of guys touching the football. Huffman leads the way, 6 carries, 31 yards. Spolsky, 3 for 28. Eads, 4 for 15 last night. And then Nativity also getting the passing game going a little bit, Chaz, as Schreffler leads the way with his reception for 39, and it's Brennan for 32. And that's a surprise. Keegan Brennan and Cody Miller didn't hook up in this ball game at all. They've been a force, to watch as they have found some chemistry between those two. 3 interceptions reeled in by the defense for Nativity last night. Volpel, Walborn, and Schreffler reeling them in. And then Brady and Fenstermaker reeling them in for Marion last night. So Stan DeCosky still searching for that. He did get his first
win last week against
Shenandoah
Valley.
He did.
That was the Jake Fenstermaker show that night in Blue Devil territory. Last night, not finding the running lanes so easy. But Nativity will move on next Friday night to play the battle in the backyard at Minersville, a game we'll have on T-102. The Battling Miners not finding the road easy against Pottsville or Monoy area to open the season. However, last night hosted Panther Valley, and Connor Schwalem's coming out, folks. Last night on the ground, Schwalem carries the football 8 times for 148 yards from his quarterback spot. To top that, he's 8 of 11 passing for 169 yards through the air. So get ready, folks. The Battling Miners, after a rough one Saturday afternoon with Mahanoy area, regain a little bit. 57-22, they defeat Panther Valley last night at home. And Schwalem with 1, 2, 3, 4 rushing touchdowns. Throws for 1 and 2 through the air. Involved in 6 touchdowns last night.
Yeah, high scoring affair, Chaz. And, you know, it only took a matter of time till Dawson Schwalem fell into the groove back there. He came out in week number 2, the first game for the Miners against Pottsville. And on the first initial drive, he drives him down for a touchdown against Pottsville. And then, things didn't go his way after that. It started going all tides way after that in week number 2. And, remember, John Adams came into the season as the tagged starter. And seen all the preseason action as the first team starter, seen everything, and then gets injured in the scrimmage. And with that, takes out. Schwalem is pressed into action and didn't have a lot of snaps. Now he's seeing every snap since that injury in practice and in the game. And, you've got to think about it. Just as like a college football player, a quarterback, when they start, or an NFL rookie, usually around about the third week or the third start, they start to settle down a little bit. They start to feel pressure. They start to, you know, get the nuances of the game under control. So Dawson Schwalm starting to get that a little bit here. And it's coming at a right time as that battle in the backyard against Nativity is next Friday night.
Indeed. Well, Doc, let's talk about Williams Valley going to Mahanoy area for the first time. A match between single-A schools this year. Could that be a preview of what's to come here in the playoffs as Williams Valley tussling with the Golden Bears last night to come away with a 28-20 victory?
Yeah, and it all gets underway. Williams Valley scores first in the only score of the first quarter. Then they'll pin on Mahanoy area will pin on a Terry 21-yard run. Then Williams Valley answers that, and it's 14-6. And then Manley will reel in the Terry pass, and the two-point conversion fails there. And at that break, Jazz, it's 14-12 Williams Valley. Well, Williams Valley will come out in the third and score two touchdowns. The first one, a Dibert 50-yard interception return. And then Engel will get a 12-yard run later in the third quarter. And sandwiched in between is a Terry 32-yard run. 341 yards of total offense put up by the Vikings last night. 122 on the ground, 219 through the air. 13-23 passing last night for Engel. Three interceptions thrown for Terry, 4 of 25, three interceptions for 75 yards. 277 total behind the 202 on the ground attack for the Bears. And a lot of penalties in this one, over 100 yards in penalties assessed to both ball clubs. I'm not sure, who did you have as officials last night at Blue Mountain?
Jim Toomey and company.
Oh, wow. I was going to say, because I haven't seen a ref that I have known or recognized, I think, for like the last
I had Nobsy Merwine a couple
three
nights.
3 weeks ago.
Jason Boris, Mike Stepanchik.
I haven't seen a local crew in
a while. I've seen those guys. Well, that's because you're going to see Pottsville a lot. But, you know, let's talk about
where the hell are the refs?
Last week's opponent that the Crimson Tide dismantled was the Lehighton Indians, right? Well, last night they win 60-42 over Schuylkill Haven. You won't find it there. Get this, all right? All those points, the two teams combined for 1,091 yards on 111 plays offensively. It's an average of 9.8 yards per play. The Indians had 10 plays of 20 or more, while Schuylkill Haven had 9. Richie Fronheiser threw for all 398 of Lehighton's yards on 20 of 22 passing. He broke the school record of 380. He's just 26 yards away from 1,000 this season. We're only halfway through.
Mike Farr teaming up with Paula Cole this week on a duet of Where the Hell is the Defense?
Connor Gehring had an impressive 56-yard run. I mean, whoa, baby, this one was full of offense, and it was an interesting night. The first play from scrimmage, Fronheiser connects with Zach Hunsinger on an 80-yard touchdown pass. Following a three and out, the two hooked up for a 13-yard scoring toss. It was 13-0 last night. Hunsinger, 7 passes for 185 yards in total last night. This is remarkable. What was going on? And I don't see a lot of the Bucs here in the ball game. You'll probably catch that tomorrow in the Republican Herald. This one is certainly most of what based towards Lehighton. But first play of the fourth quarter, Steve Fritzinger gets free for a 51-yard touchdown run. Just amazing. I can't wait to see those numbers. One over 1,000 yards of total offense
crazy.
In the ball game.
Crazy.
Ooh. So let's talk here, Doc, about our last game before we get Jeff Sanson on the phone. And what did they say?
Who let the dogs out?
No.
He come at the hoons now.
Yeah, got it. Finally. Your Dutch ain't much, but it was spot on there.
Uh-huh.
Tri-Valley returns to the field to play football in week number 4. And boy, oh boy, the dogs, as they say, are loaded for bear.
Yeah, they are. And it all starts off early with a pass. Herb from McGrath, 82 yards. He dials them up, Chaz. And it's quick and in a hurry, the scoring here for Tri-Valley. Then they get a safety holding penalty in the end zone. And it's all of a sudden a 9-0 ball game. Add 7 more to it. Add 8 more to it as McGrath gets a 9-yard run and a 2-point conversion. 17-0 after one. It is 31-0 after they add 2 more at the break. And then it's 44-0 after 3. 57-0 after 4, and a whole heck of a lot of offense for Tri-Valley last night. 454, 123 with the aerial attack, 331 on the artillery.
Boom.
And Shenandoah, 13 carries minus 5 yards in the rushing category. Mm. Passing yards last night, 7 of 17 for 84 yards, 79 yards of offense last night for the Devils. They dropped the ball 3 times and lost it twice, my friend.
What do you say we get Jeff Sampson dialed up here?
Yeah, let's get the lead dog, the alpha male, on the phone.
Boy, oh boy, are you being kind. The alpha male?
Yeah!
Well, we'll talk to Jeff Sampson around the turn here on AM 1360, 106 FM, worldwide at WPPARadio.com.
Missed the show? Don't worry. Find us at all of your favorite podcast platforms, Apple, Google, Spotify, and our host site, Anchor.fm. It's WPPA Sports Center. Go.
Due to my ineptitude, you'll get 2-for-1 this week.
Oh, boy.
Sundays, 12 noon. It's the musical memories of WPPA Soft Sunday. And at 1 o'clock, a variety of the newest and best polkas, WPPA's Polka Time. Then at 3, we roll back the hits of the 70s, 80s, and 90s. So no matter your musical taste, we have you covered on AM 1360 WPPA, 106 FM, and on the web, WPPARadio.com. Join us.
Does your bank come to mind when you think about the best things in your life? If not, consider a financial institution who has the experience in customer satisfaction. At CACL Financial, we've been voted the best bank in Schuylkill County for 6 years in a row. If you live, work, or worship in Schuylkill County, then CACL can help you with your financial needs. We have top quality products like free checking, lower fees, and better deposit rates than the competition. CACL Financial's goal is to deliver quality financial services to our members. Find out for yourself how it feels to work with a financial institution that's committed to helping you. Now, even more convenient with our newest location on the Port Carbon St. Clair Highway with easy in and out drive-through banking and a state-of-the-art ATM. CACL Financial, voted the best bank in Schuylkill County 6 years in a row in Pottsville and now on the Port Carbon St. Clair Highway. Trust CACL Financial, committed to your customer satisfaction.
Life is about motion, so orthopedic injuries are just a part of life. Phoenix Physical Therapy helps you rise to new heights after an injury by creating a program focused on you. With direct access, you can easily schedule an appointment at one of our convenient clinic locations in Pottsville, Orwicksburg, Brockville, Pine Grove, or Gratz. Your community selected Phoenix is the proud winner of the 2020 Republican Herald Reader's Choice Award. Your life should be pain-free, filled with activities that you love. With the help from Phoenix, you can recover, recharge, and rise. Visit PhoenixPhysicalTherapy.com. To schedule your physical therapy visit.
WPPA's coverage of Eagles football continues this Sunday in prime time.
Going to San Francisco.
The Birds travel to San Francisco to battle the 49ers. Who knows? A trip out west could do them some good.
Go west, young man.
Kickoff is set for 8:20. We'll be on the air 30 minutes prior with Bowen on the Birds, the Eagles, and 49ers this Sunday in prime time. And hey, look at the bright side. Win, lose, or draw, we'll still have polka time Sunday afternoon with Paul Konkus. How do you say victory in Polish?
V-A-T-L-E-S, Eagles!
Welcome back, Sports Saturday. CBS Sports Radio at 12 noon today, Chaz. Nothing else happening. Notre Dame not playing this week. Penn State not yet playing, but a guy who started playing last night and got a victory out of the chutes. It's Jeff Sampson joining us, the head coach of the Tri-Valley Bulldogs, the alpha male out there in the Valley of the Dolls. As Coach Sampson, it took a while. You're watching everybody else play the previous 3 weeks and anticipation building, and you kept your boys working towards a goal, and you come out big time last night.
Yeah, it was finally great to get on the football field, and you know, a little different than normal, but you know, it was good. The kids had a good time and then played very well.
Jeff, with all that time to prepare, now this is kind of a different line of thought. With all that time to prepare, did you find that advantageous now to see what other teams are doing? Or the fact of the matter is that you really can't get in to see anybody play, but holding kids and saying, guys, we're going to play soon, it's coming. How did all that work out?
Well, I don't know if it was advantageous. It was basically, you know, sit back and watch. And, you know, obviously you can't go to the games and scout, so you're waiting for scout films to come in and then try to prepare the best you can, you know, when you get those films. So it was tough. You know, like I said, I've never in, 27 years, never had a Friday night off in a during the fall, and then we had three of them off. So it was kind of, what do you do on a Friday night while everyone else is playing? So, but we made the best of it. The kids responded well, and you know, we're going to keep going.
You know, Jeff, I thought it was interesting, and I know coaches will always say, I don't look at that stuff. Polls don't mean nothing. Games are decided on the field. But your team was listed in the state rankings and didn't play a game for the first 3 weeks. Do more people have a bead on the Dogs than maybe anyone else has in the know of all of the talented individuals that you have on that team?
That's a hard question. I don't make those decisions. Other people that claim to have more football knowledge make those decisions. So, we really don't look at those things. I'm sure there was some question. You know, we hadn't touched the field, and we were in the rankings. So, I think internally we knew we had a good football team. How good we didn't know until we hit the field last night, because we really didn't have any scrimmages. We had an inter-squad scrimmage, but no, regular scrimmage. And, we didn't know how well we were going to respond. We thought we were going to do well because we had, a decent crew of kids coming back from last year that had experience. So, we didn't know where we were at until last night. And, we got a better look at how we think we're going to be.
You know, Coach, you have Jonas McGrath back there as your quarterback and Chase Herb, the senior, as your running back. How much of a confidence builder is it to hit that senior running back and senior leadership on an 82-yard pass for your quarterback?
Yeah, that was the plan was to get Jonas involved in the game early. I told him this last night before the game. I mean, I've seen a really large improvement in his whole demeanor from last year. He's more confident. He's taken charge of the offense. His throwing style he worked on over the summer and winter last year. So it was great to get those two guys connected, because Chase is a big part not only of our running game but also our passing game, because he was our leading receiver last year.
You know, Jeff, when you take a look, I think you have a never-ending list of Shibes coming through the program.
Yeah, well, I think this is the last one, unfortunately. He's a tremendous athlete. You know, he kind of trimmed down a little bit this year. He's about 10 pounds lighter than he was last year, but he's gotten quicker, and he provides an avenue for Chase to run in when he's blocking in front of him, and he himself has improved. Like I said, he's gotten quicker, he's gotten a little faster, so it's nice to have him running the ball as well.
You know, it's not very often though, Coach, that a fullback would end up with about 10 yards a carry average, and that's big for your ball club, because now the fullback could come out and he's getting yards.
Yeah, exactly. Like I said, he worked hard in the off season, as did most of the other kids. And you know, he's actually probably about 20 pounds, 30 pounds lighter than Chase is. But he's a really good blocker, and he's, you know, he's tough to bring down when he's running the ball. He's a hard runner, and I think there was a couple times last night where he was carrying two and three guys, you know, an extra 5-10 yards.
Well, Jeff, single A classification gets a bit of a shuffle this year, and I think top to bottom in that race, with four out of the five teams making it, it seems right now that Class A is an awful competitive field. When you take a look at Mono Area coming into it now and the season that they're having, Shenandoah Valley bouncing up to Double A. Boy, oh boy, the top four in the echelon there between Tri-Valley, Williams Valley, Mono Area, and Nativity. Whoa, baby.
Yeah, I mean, there's talent all over the board with those four teams. And, you know, we've seen the last 3 weeks that, you know, with Nativity knocking off some big teams, and, you know, Williams Valley is always tough, and Mono has played tough the entire season. So, it's going to be a shuffling match. You're going to have to be in your game every Friday night in order to, you know, you try to move up in that ladder to try and get, you know, home field advantage in the first round.
You know, let's talk about Herbie a little bit. A lot of people believe that he could be one of the premier backs in the entire state in Class A. What does he bring to the table for you guys?
Oh, man, you know, so many things you can think of. He's a hard runner. He's got the speed, the size. You know, I don't know. I've never coached a running back that's, you know, 6'3", 215 pounds and can move as well as he does. You know, to add to that, he's an excellent receiver out of the backfield. You know, when we go into our spread offensive look, we put him out at one of the slots. So, you know, and that's only on the offensive side of the ball. You know, he's just as equally as quick and determined on the defensive side. But you know, it's obviously advantageous for us to have someone like him in the backfield. You know, on Friday nights, because he. You know, last night he made some really, really tremendous runs, and it's all instinct. I mean, he just sees the field so well.
You know, Jeff, it means a whole heck of a lot, though, for your young men out there for your team, as in a testament to their hard work. That, I mean, Tri-Valley isn't like that perennial contender in the state playoffs. I mean, they get the job done on a Friday night. They get into District 11 playoffs. They make some noise there. But they haven't made, like, huge runs over the last few years over and over. They're not, like, the big hot spot for a football factor or anything like that. But their work ethic is what makes them better and makes them stand out from everybody else.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, they're hardworking kids, and they put in the time, and they buy into the system. And, you know, the one thing I always said is how close-knit of a group they are from top to bottom. You know, sometimes in programs you have, you know, the seniors and juniors may hang out, and the freshmen and sophomores may hang out, or the, you know. But these guys, I mean, it's fun to watch them at practice, because the seniors are just as involved with the freshmen as, you know, maybe the sophomores are. And you know, there's that bond between the entire team that's, you know, is refreshing. And you know, it's good for the team, it's good for the kids, and you know, they kind of respond well to it, and, you know, stick together on a Friday night, which is important.
You know, Jeff, next week you're going to host Mono Area. So back-to-back weeks you get Shenandoah Valley, Mono Area, two of those tough, hard-nosed coal towns coming into the valley. What do you see from the Golden Bears coming into next Friday?
Well, you know, they responded very well. I mean, I think they lost like 14 seniors last year, and there was a lot of talent. You know, Danny Lawrence was an unbelievable athlete to run the show there. And, you know, then they moved the Terry kid from wide out to quarterback, and he's a great athlete, brings a lot to the table, quickness, speed, smart kid. So they're an extremely good football team, and, you know, we're going to have to bring our A game Friday night. We know that. The kids know that. We, you know, we told them that after the game last night, and, you know, I expect an all-out battle Friday night, you know, up to dog pound.
Well, Jeff, it's interesting. You get the first game in, and And you look at your schedule down the line, I think the only single-A team you don't have on the schedule is Nativity. You play Panther Valley to end it. After Monoy Area comes Marion, and then that brawl with Williams Valley. You go between the pines for that one. And that's one I think that a lot of people have circled, but for a whole lot of reasons. But this year, it seems like that's going to be a dynamic night of football.
Yeah, you know, we don't look ahead, so, you know, our big focus, again, is Friday night against Monoy Area. We need to take care of business, you know, one game at a time. You know, obviously for us, you know, week four is going to be a big week. It always is. The rivalry is, you know, so great between the two schools and the players and stuff. And, you know, Tim and I have been friends for a while, so it's going to be a good night, but we're going to focus on what we got to focus on, you know, next Friday night.
Boy, oh boy, you're always in the zone, aren't you?
No, I don't know about that.
Doesn't matter if you're busting me or looking at your schedule. You're always in the zone. But
yeah, I don't know. Yeah, we'll see.
Well, buddy, thank you for taking time out to talk some Bulldog football this morning. And I think that, boy, teams in our area put on notice last night that the Tri-Valley is primed and ready. So thanks for taking time out of your Saturday morning. I know you're a busy man on a Saturday because everybody gets to see you for a change at home. And thanks, buddy.
Hey, anytime. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Jeff, and have a great day. And we'll talk to you further down the road for sure.
Sounds good.
There you have it, Doc Jeff Sampson joining us this morning, head coach of the Tri-Valley Bulldogs after their 57-0 season opener against Shenandoah Valley last night at home. And I guess we'll let Pork on the air. I'd rather leave Alfredo Mercury on so he won't get bamboozled again by the Drees boys.
Does Alfredo know anything about horse racing?
Nah, he knows a lot about donuts and conservation. Yeah. But anyway, we'll be back with Pork Drees right after this on Sports Saturday.
Right here on WPPA Sports Saturday.
WPPA's Polka Time, Sundays 1 till 3 p.m. Hi, Paul Congress inviting you to tune in to the widest variety of the newest and best polkas here on WPPA. We'll be coming your way right up to the start of Phillies baseball. So set your dial to 1360 WPPA, 106 FM, or on the web, WPPARadio.com. Let's make it a date.
Balance of Nature is fruits and vegetables in a capsule, changing the world one life at a time.
I've had some joint pain, but I don't have it anymore because when I started taking Balance of Nature over a year ago, within, I would say, 2 or 3 months, I was pain-free. It was amazing. I feel tons better, and I love it.
Balance of Nature is now offering 35% off on any new preferred order. Go to balanceofnature.com today and use discount code FRUITS.
From acclaimed filmmaker Dinesh D'Souza, who brought you Obama's America, comes his most important film yet. Trump Card. America is at a crossroads. The Democratic Party's socialist agenda, led by Joe Biden, is threatening to take our freedoms away. In Trump Card, Dinesh digs deep to uncover why the threat of socialism is real, what's at stake if we let them win, and how we stop it. Trump Card. Only on demand starting October 9th. Rated PG-13.
The folks at Gears Dairy would like to thank all of you for your overwhelming support of our new raspberry tea. No matter the weather, the raspberry iced tea and diet decaf raspberry are the perfect blends. Not too sweet, not too mellow. Perfectly refreshing. Plus, you can enjoy all of their iced teas, fruit drinks, and milk products. Gears Dairy on the Tumbling Run Road. The county's oldest family-owned dairy. Sip on, Schuylkill County.
Does your bank come to mind when you think about the best things in your life? If not, consider a financial institution who has the experience in customer satisfaction. At CACL Financial, we've been voted the best bank in Schuylkill County for 6 years in a row. If you live, work, or worship in Schuylkill County, then CACL can help you with your financial needs. We have top quality products like free checking, lower fees, and better deposit rates than the competition. CACL Financial's goal is to deliver quality quality financial services to our members. Find out for yourself how it feels to work with a financial institution that's committed to helping you. Now, even more convenient with our newest location on the Port Carbon St. Clair Highway with easy in-and-out drive-through banking and a state-of-the-art ATM. CACL Financial, voted the best bank in Schuylkill County 6 years in a row in Pottsville and now on the Port Carbon St. Clair Highway. Trust CACL Financial, committed to your customer satisfaction.
WPPA's coverage of Eagles football continues this Sunday in prime time.
Going to San Francisco.
The Birds travel to San Francisco to battle the 49ers. Who knows? A trip out west could do them some good.
Go West, young man.
Kickoff is set for 8:20. We'll be on the air 30 minutes prior with Bowen on the Birds, the Eagles, and 49ers this Sunday in prime time. And hey, look at the bright side. Win, lose, or draw, we'll still have polka time Sunday afternoon with Paul Konkus. How do you say victory in Polish?
V-A-T-L-E-S, Eagles!
Welcome back to WPPA Sports Saturday as we get set to talk the ponies with Pork Trees. And Pork is wearing the cone of shame this year.
It's bad, guys. It's bad.
It's real bad. We would be remiss not to say that Alfredo Mercury is smarter than the Drees brothers.
Can you outsmart the
clear,
Drees?
I want to clear my good Drees name with Mr. McCurry there. He's not bamboozling him. I got all fired up. I was talking Kentucky Derby. He sent a tweet out to the Twitter sphere saying that the Drees brothers bamboozled him again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You did.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
But anyway, let's talk Preakness Stakes there. Porky is... Well, a nice field for the Preakness for a change.
Are they moving this thing yet to the better-looking track? This track's a crap hole, right? Pimlico? I thought they were going to move this thing.
They were talking about it. I don't know if they moved it yet or not. They were talking about it, moving it to, I think, Laurel Park, if I'm not mistaken.
And I think you're correct.
I think it's still at Pimlico this year.
It is. Now, Pork, when the morning line odds came out on this race, they have changed dramatically up until last evening. Big time. When the field was set authentic, the winner of the Kentucky Derby was the favorite. However, that has since changed a little.
Oh, yeah. I'm actually pulling up the current odds right now.
Should have had this done. Alfredo would have had it done ready. He would have had all his research done on this.
He is the winningest Tideline reporter.
And he would have probably brought us some glazed sour cream donuts or something like that.
He might have brought the New Yorker.
The glazed sour cream
is my favorite, too, just the same as Alfredo.
Like yeah.
Alfredo has good taste.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Alfredo, I mean, it could be a heavy meal, but it could also be light. It all depends.
He did the investigative report on Dunkin' Donuts.
Yes, he did. And he also won an award. So
he's an award winner,
but
unlike us.
Our collector was at 4-5, Pork, which really is a loss on your investment if you put Art Collector to win, and that's the only place you stake your claim, right?
Yeah. Right now, currently, he's 5-2.
Oh, he went opened, back.
He opened up morning line. He was 5-2. So he really didn't change. Authentic morning line was 9-5. He really didn't change. He's 9-5. It's a 2-horse race.
Ooh, so he's back to the favorite.
Yeah, Authentic moved back to the favorite.
Hmm.
I mean,
oh boy,
he's coming out of the 9-hole. I think it's a two horse race. It's sort of like the old Preakness. I mean, there's 11 horses in it, but this is one where you really can't win, you know, a lot of money unless, you know, the two favorites get thrown out, but they're too good of horses to not say they're not going to hit the board. Now you got to hope. Actually, I just got a text from Alfredo right now.
See that?
See? He's listening.
Yeah.
He's making sure you're not running him down again.
Yeah, I will never run my buddy down. But
Heard a cuss.
No, it's just one of those. It's one of these things where, you know, I think it's just, you know, and Jimmy Quinn's probably listening. He always says to me, you pick the favorites, but it's just one of those favorite horses. You know, I think I'm hoping and praying that 1,000 words, you know, the 5 horse, you know, could come in on top. I mean, I think he's a good horse. It's a Baffert. This is one of those you put the Baffert exacto on, the 5 and the 9. Baffert has 2 strong horses in this race. So if you're looking for a bet, or like a nice, easy $2 exacto box, put the Baffert exact in, you know, the 5 and 9, and hopefully the 5 comes on top so your payday is a little bit higher.
Wow. All right. Well, it'll be interesting to see how this all shakes out. I mean, you look at the horse in the one hole. If you want to make money, that's your pony today. Accession is your money maker if it shows up today.
Yeah, if this horse was in the rain, they said he would run away with it. He's a mutter. But
mutter.
It's supposed to be actually nice down there. It's supposed to be 62 degrees with 0% chance of rain. So, I mean, it's supposed to be real nice, so I don't see him coming in. But yeah, if this was a deluge, if this was a muddy track, he would be getting hammered right now.
Yeah, I think I actually like the 2 horse, Mr. Big News.
That's because you are Mr. Big News.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, no, Mr. Big News, he would be one that to hit like on a. If you're playing a super, he could come in and sneak in that fourth horse to hit the board. You would want him to come in like 3 or 4. I mean, I don't see him. Maybe he could win. I don't see it, but he would be a sleeper for like your trifectas or your superfecta boxes there.
You know, Pork, when you take a look at this, there are a couple of horses that have run against these big boys this year. New York Traffic, Pneumatic. They've both been in the play, just never in the money.
Yeah, no, they haven't been in the money. And I was all over New York Traffic in the Derby, and he let me down. I'm staying away from him. I'm in a bad slump, though, guys. So whatever, to the listeners, whatever I'm saying, just take probably the exact opposite, because I have not won a horse race in probably a month.
All right, Pork. Well, let's hear what you're going to tell everybody to do the exact opposite on. Let's hear your 4, and we'll let you box them this time.
All right. So I'm going to go with your 2 favorites, your 3 and your 9. I'm going to go 1,000 words is 5, Mr. Big News 2.
Wow.
3, 9, 5, 2.
And Doctor, I'm looking over at your sheet. You have your pick selected, and you went with the old county system here.
Yeah.
This is your lucky numbers.
Yeah, I went with the old county numbering system, George, just for information purposes. I went with the 3, the 6, and the 9.
The 3 is Art Collector. The 6?
Jesus's team. How the hell can he win?
You threw Authentic in there and Mr. Big News, right?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, here's what I got.
3, 6, 9.
I hear you. I think it's going to be 9.
9?
Let's throw 4 in there, the Swiss Skydiver invading. We'll put Art Collector in there as 3. And you know what? I'm blowing it out. Let's go Accession, the one horse.
Ooh.
Big odds, big money. Play Big Pork or go home.
I'm going to play big today. Don't worry. I'll do that. But
a 9-4-3-1 for Chaz.
9-4-3-1. Maybe I'll play that.
Yeah, I was pretty close to what the doctor picked, and I looked over, and he had it already. So that kind of ended that squabble right away. But, Pork, you know what? We're up against it. Your dad wants the oldies show on. He's sick of listening to you.
Yeah, he's sick of listening to me. I know he is.
Hey, just for records.
I was with him all last night at the 2016 club.
Wow.
Yo, just for record, okay? I won the first one to Belmont. Chaz won with 2 correct picks in the Derby. Rubber match in the Preakness.
And we'll see who wins the skins here this year with our horse racing aficionado, Pork. Thanks for joining us this morning on the program.
Always my pleasure, guys. My pleasure.
All right, buddy. Preakness coming so late in the season, we don't have our time to focus, Doc, but we better focus because the Saturday Morning Oldies Show is coming up next. Thanks, CACL Financial, Phoenix Physical Therapy, and Gears Dairy for sponsoring the program. You're listening to WPPA Pottsville and Translator W290 DP Pottsville.